Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant assistance of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we're here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim. From bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of 4 major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. I hope you'll have as much fun listening to our conversations as we have had. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile company in the world, from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man, Gary Bagnall, who still runs it. ZooMed provides supplies and information for every imaginable exotic pet, particularly renowned as the world's expert on UVB and heat lighting. ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools, which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. I am so happy to find another extraordinary pet owner from Johanna Siegmund's book, In Good Company, Notable People with Their Pets. I was fascinated by the professional photographer Laura Cohen, whose pets are 2 tortoises. She lives in Mexico City. And Laura, welcome to the show. And I'm just fascinated by the idea that tortoises, Pedro and Petra, are your pets. How did you come to choose them, or how did they choose you?
Hi, Tracy. Nice to talk to you.
And you.
Well, I was doing an assignment on a book about Mexico City's most important markets. And there's 2 markets in Mexico City where everything that is sold there is alive.
No.
They sell fishes, they sell tropical fishes and aquarium normal sweetwater fishes, and they sell iguanas and bunnies and dogs and puppies, and they're really interesting, very, very, very interesting markets. And I was just walking around, and I saw a box full of mice, and there was Petra in there, and I felt horrible for her.
Oh.
And I saw the beautiful the tortoise shell she had. And I said, I'm going to take her home. You know, as a visual artist, I saw the beauty in the shell. Really, that's how I bought her. And I bought her, and I brought her home because I needed to save her from the mice.
Why do you think they had her in that box with mice?
Because these markets, sometimes the people are not so careful about the way they keep their
animals. Yes.
And so I think it was that. It was just negligence on the part of the owners of the
What was he
booth.
Selling? That makes sense, because people that sell live animals don't view them as pets or emotional touchstones for someone else. It's a business. It's a commodity. But what were they, just out of curiosity, were they selling the mice to feed to snakes, which somebody else was selling, or were the mice pets as well?
I think for both reasons. That's a very interesting question. And I think it was for both reasons, because there's people that do own boas or pythons.
Yes.
I don't know. It's pythons, the ones that eat. They need mice. So I think it was for both purposes. So I brought her home. I didn't know exactly what to do with her. And I had heard, I had done a photograph in the 90s with a tortoise that a friend of mine, I borrowed from a friend of mine. And I fell in love with that tortoise. And that tortoise's name was Petrus. And I said, these tortoises are going to outlive me. And so I'm going to name this one Petra. And I started just feeding her lettuce because I didn't know. And slowly I learned all the nutrition, what they need, the nutritious vegetables they need to eat.
Where did you and learn so, that, Laura? Where does one go?
Well, I think you can go online, but I went directly to my vet, and the vet told me, you know, you have to feed her dark green. Anything that's dark green is good for her.
Nice.
And the vet told me if you, and here we eat a lot of zucchini flowers.
Right.
And he told me, oh, zucchini flowers and lettuce is like feeding a child chocolate.
No kidding. There's
no nutrients. They love it, but they won't be, it's not nutritious for them.
Right.
So I started feeding them lots of kale. They love kale. They love broccoli. They love cactus.
Wow.
They love, they eat the same things I do, actually.
Do you eat cactus as well? I know that's on the plate in Mexico, not with the pricklers, but the cactus pear. Or what part of the cactus do you eat?
The leaf, the round one, what they call in Spanish nopal.
Yes. And it's cut up and used raw in a salad, right?
Yeah. So they love that. And so I got Pedrito. So Petra, she was like probably 1 year old when I bought her. 1 year old is not too old for a turtle, for a tortoise. So then I said, I don't want Petra to be by herself.
Nice.
I don't know if it's important or not. So I went to the same market, I asked around, and somebody told me, oh, yeah, we can get you a tortoise, you know, because I knew the kind of tortoise, because in tortoises, there's a lot of species. There's not just one, you know, there's a lot of different ones.
So what species was she?
Berlandieri.
Berlandieri. And
Berlandieri, like Berlandieri.
What a wonderful word. And did you have to, were you expected, was it a good idea to get another of the same species of tortoise? Would she have had problems with a different species?
I never thought of it. I just went with my instinct, really.
Good.
I just said, well, I'm going to buy her a husband. And so I bought the husband, but when they gave me the husband was 1 inch long.
Oh, my goodness.
He had just been born. You know, he was one-third the size of a big pen.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so I took him to the vet, and the vet told me, why are you doing this? He's going to die. You have to give him back.
I'm sorry to laugh, but we're all so ignorant, all of us,
when
it comes
to
pets. We are. We don't know any better, and we have these great impulses. It's really the whole reason for this show, Exotic Pets, is to celebrate people who say, I want something different than a dog or cat, but to recognize that it's a constant process of learning and getting education. You're very fortunate that you had a veterinarian who was knowledgeable about exotics. That's not common, but perhaps it is in Mexico. Maybe people have lots of unusual to Americanized kinds of pets. But he said that
there are more things, more, yeah, I've seen some pretty weird things at the vet, you know, weird pets.
That's funny.
At the vet. I saw a woman that had a crow.
Really? They're supposed to make great pets, though. Really smart.
Yeah, and there the crow, there he was. There was a crow, and he would go with her in her motorcycle.
No.
So, yeah, you see some strange things here and there.
That's so cool. Well, so
yes,
he
Tracy.
Said, listen, Pedro is 1 inch long. He cannot survive at all, much less with Petra, who was a good-sized little tortoise at that point, right? She was a year old. So what did you do? You kept him, of course.
Of course. I told my son, well, the vet says I should return him. And my son said, he's going to die if you return him.
Probably true.
You'd better just take care of him here. And that's what I did. And, you know, I gave him a slice of very thin carrot. And he ate it. You could see the mouth form of the teeth in the carrot.
Oh, how adorable.
And I said, oh, this one's mine.
Did you take a photo? Did you take a photo of his bite of the carrot?
No, I didn't take a photo of the bite of the carrot.
I wish
just
you
have
had
a photo of him next to a big pen because, you know, just to know what size he really was.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that you will have to share with us, along with the beautiful photos taken by Johanna in your studio.
Yes.
I must have little Pedro when he was the size of a big pen. So were you able to put the two tortoises together, or would Petra have accidentally squished him?
No, Petra was very, she actually never minded him. But now he's a young man. He's six years old, because I bought him in 2016.
Okay.
And now he goes after Petra because he wants to mate with her.
Oh, so what will happen? Is there going to be romance? Are there going to be little babies?
Well, Petra laid an egg last July or August. So I took her to the vet, and he said, well, we don't know if there's more eggs. You have to X-ray her.
Oh,
so we
goodness.
Did an X-ray,
oh,
and she has two more eggs inside of her.
Wow.
And I thought that she would lay the eggs right away. The egg she laid was not fertilized. So that egg, after 3 months of keeping it here, I just put it inside. I dug it and put it inside one of my plants.
Nice.
Pots with plants.
To be a fertilizer.
Yes. But she still has two eggs inside of her, and they're very slowly moving. Imagine, this was in July, and
my
I took her
goodness.
Like 2 months ago, and the egg has started to shift.
That's how long it takes, obviously.
That's how long it takes.
But meanwhile, these won't be fertilized either, right? Because Pedro wasn't in the right mood at the time.
I think he goes after her a lot. Actually, we laugh. The woman that helps me here at home, she comes to help me do some house cleaning.
Right.
And she goes, oh, Pedrito's in the mood. Look at him.
But we don't know if that egg had already been formed inside her when he started being amorous, so that the surprise is yet to come. What an incredible...
That's right.
I mean, this is the kind of thing, Laura, that I think is so fascinating for those of us that don't have exotic pets. And those people who do have them or want to have them and don't realize the complications and the cost to be a proper guardian. I mean, the cost of X-raying a tortoise and the vet visit and then, you know, fill in the blanks, the other things you might need to do. It's a responsibility, and it comes with cost and an obligation. So I salute you for doing it, and I hope that people listening realize it's not just a living rock, a tortoise. It has a whole emotional life, and it also has a sexual life, and it also has a physical and reproductive life, doesn't it?
That is so true. And what you're saying is very true about, you know, the responsibility of pets. I have always said that I am not a good mother of pets because I'm always in and out.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
As a photographer, my schedules are, I don't know how long something is going to take me to do. And so I decided that I was not going to have any pets. And then when Petra came along, I said, well, she's probably a big tortoise. They're low maintenance. Yes, they are, but they're not. You
right.
have to really feed them right. I have to bathe them once a week.
Really?
And I have to scrub their shells. Yes, they have to be bathed once a week.
And what do you scrub her shell with? A toothbrush?
With a little brush.
A little special brush.
I bought her a little special brush. They have their special brush.
That's so sweet. Now, what about a relationship? Do you feel that you have a bond with her? Well, I think you do have one with her. She tickles you, and they both tickle you, so to speak. But do you think, perceive you as a different person than other humans and have any kind of reaction or response to you?
I don't know if they have another response to other humans.
Right.
I
like
don't
your
know,
house
because
cleaner. What about the lady who comes to clean the house? Do they have a different interaction?
I think they like her because she carries them and she puts them outside. I live in an apartment. And there's a balcony. So we put them out in the balcony every day so that they need to have sun. They need to have radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put them out in the balcony. But when I put them out, I feel they know it's me. Or sometimes when I come home and everything is dark and if a friend comes over and we start talking, you can hear them. They start eating. You can hear the crunchy, you know, you can hear them crunch, crunch on their kale.
What a funny thing. And you think that's a way of expressing joy that you've come home?
Well, I don't know that there's any joy in that for them because they don't like sound. They're very quiet. They just sit in a corner and they can stay there for a day or two. And they also hibernate. But the vet told me that I shouldn't allow them to hibernate because they don't have the correct conditions in the apartment.
Right.
Nor the temperature, nor the humidity.
All of which would have to be very specific for a natural hibernation out in the wild.
Exactly. So we move them around. They have a hot plate underneath there. There's a box where I put them at night with a hot plate.
There's many moving pieces to it. I think it's really wonderful that you still obviously get pleasure from them and you're interested in them, even though they can be completely still and somewhat lifeless in the corner for a day or two. And it doesn't matter to you. You're still fascinated by sharing your home with them, it seems, and your son as well, and even the people that share your life. I think for me, it's very touching that an animal that, quote unquote, gives you nothing back, nothing that is sort of tangible, that you enjoy taking care of them and appreciating them as a completely different creature on the planet. I think that's a really interesting relationship instead of the ones where there's a great deal of give and take and, you know, training and conversation and treat giving and trick training. I think it's really cool. It's so beneath the radar in terms of pet ownership. How long do you think they will live? I'm sure you've been told.
Oh, they live like 150 years.
Whoops. Well,
yeah, I told my children that they're going to be in my will.
Yeah, and your son, but he's going to have to make some grandchildren because they're going to have to get them as well. I mean, heavens to Betsy.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're a very long-lived family so that you can continue to enjoy Pedro. And Pedro, and I
you
guess...
You know what gives me...
Sorry
to interrupt.
No, please.
But what you were just saying, there's something that gives me great pleasure. And that is, they're in a safe environment. And
yes.
I want them to... I know they're safe. They know they're safe. And that nothing will ever happen to them.
That's really
there's
nice.
There's no prey around here.
That's really nice. I mean, the various places I've lived, there have been places that even have signs, tortoise crossing of the road, and out in the Hamptons, some places in California, and certainly in more tropical places like Mexico. And they get run over by cars. And heaven forbid, there's lots of cultures, I'm sure, sadly, perhaps Asian ones.
They eat them,
and then they use their shells and their body parts for all kinds of human trinkets and human so-called medicine. So it's very nice to know that you have two very safe ones in your home. And if Petra's eggs ever emerge, and if they did get fertilized, oh my goodness, that's the beginning of another 150 years. Think twice.
I will let you know.
Oh,
and
yes.
If it is fertilized, I'm already thinking, who am I going to give the little tortoise to?
Yes.
Because I don't want another one here.
No, you have plenty. Two is a multitude. And also,
yes.
You've already invested 6 years. So, you know, you're 6 years into your 150 years. You've got to get someone else. You've got to pass the hot potato, as we say. Laura, it's wonderful to talk to you. I'm sure your photographs are beautiful, and I would love to at least see the one of Pedro across from the big pen when he was a wee little sprout of a guy. That would be great fun to see. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for letting more people know that tortoises make very interesting pets, but they do have their requirements, and that's important too. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Tracy, for your interest, and long live the tortoises.
Absolutely. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets, brought to you by the fine family of animal lovers at ZooMed Laboratories, where they make everything you could need to give your exotic its best possible life. Are you an experienced reptile snake breeder or gecko breeder, or are you looking to pick up your first pet bearded dragon? ZooMed is sure to have what you need so you can confidently care for your exotics. If you have a question for Dr. Doug to answer on the show, feel free to reach out to me on our contact page at TracyHotchnerPets.com, spelled TracyHotchnerPets.com. Thanks for listening.